Precious Jesus, I know you brought me all the way, and I will praise your name every day. Oh, you are Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the ending, everlasting Almighty God. Jesus, Jesus, my precious Jesus, I know you brought me all the way, and I praise your name every day. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, you are Alpha and Omega. You're the first and the last, the beginning and the ending. That's Jesus, everlasting Almighty God. I'll tell everybody that you're glorious. You are omnipotent. You are wonderful. Lord, you are marvelous. And you are miraculous. You are victorious. Yes, I know you the best counselor. And one thing I love about him, he's the everlasting. You never change. Everlasting. That's Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Lily of the valley, Jesus. Bright and morning star, Jesus. The Prince of Peace. That's Jesus. And I find him to be the rose. The rose of Sharon. That's Jesus. What's his name? What is his name? What is his name? His name is Jesus. Jesus. That's his name, Jesus. I tell it. His name is Jesus. Jesus. When you're all alone, just call Jesus. He's everything you need. I want to tell you that he's everlasting. He's everlasting, everlasting. He sees the depths of all our hearts, but he still loves us. He loves us just the same. Put all the stars in place, and you know every star by name. That's Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Lord, I'll praise your name every day. yes I will. Yeah. Every day.
First, giving honor and praise to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Reverend Jimerson, Reverend Perry, associate ministers on the roster, members and visiting friends, good morning.
Good morning.
What a fabulous day it is to be celebrating our pastor and the First Family for 25 years of service. What a blessing. Our guest speaker for this auspicious occasion is the Reverend Dr. Robert W. Perry. Dr. Perry is a native of New York City, New York. He grew and developed in Portsmouth, Virginia, where he received his public school education. He is a graduate of Virginia Union University, Richmond, Virginia, receiving a Bachelor of Arts degree and later a Master of Divinity degree from the School of Theology. He attended law school at American University, Washington, D.C., Union Theological Seminary, New York, and matriculated in the Master of Science degree program at the University of Bridgeport in Connecticut. Dr. Perry brought diverse experiences into his ministry, becoming the first African-American to become a tariff agent for United Airlines in New York City. Dr. Perry has traveled extensively and preached abroad in many places. With a drive for foreign missions, he led the Union Church to establish a Union Baptist Church in Whittlesea, South Africa. In 1994, he went with his wife and daughter, Crystal, to dedicate the completed construction of the Union Baptist Church in South Africa. Dr. Perry is the senior pastor of the Union Baptist Church, Stamford, Connecticut, where he has served for the past 44 years and has completed a $5.3 million church construction, with the church serving as its own contractor. Dr. Perry is married to the former Odessa Brown. They have three children, three grandchildren, one granddaughter, and three granddaughters. Dr. Perry, the members of Second Baptist are so very proud and happy to say thank you, first of all, for coming 25 years ago and helping us to welcome Reverend Jimerson and the First Family. I remember well that you stood as Reverend Jimerson's cheerleader, and incredibly, Reverend Jimerson has stood as Second Baptist cheerleader for these 25 years. What an outstanding blessing it has been. Friends, after the music of preparation, please join me in welcoming Dr. Perry for our message this morning. Thank you.
I've had
some good days I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days and some sleepless nights. But when I look around and when I think things over, all of my good days outweigh my bad days. I won't complain. Sometimes my clouds hang low. I can't hardly see the road. I ask the question, Lord, Lord, why so much pain? But He knows what's best for me. Although my weary eyes they can't see, so I'll just say thank you, Lord. I won't complain. God has been good to me. He's been good to me. More than this whole world, all you could ever be. The Lord been good. The Lord been good to me. Oh, He dries all of my tears away. And turn my midnight into day. So I'll just say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I won't complain. God has been good to me. He's been real good to me. More than this whole world or you could ever be. The Lord been good. He's been real good to me. Tears away, then turn my midnight into day. So I'll just say thank you, Lord. 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 I've learned to say thank you, Lord. When things are not going well with me, thank you, Lord. When I don't understand everything that's going on around me, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I won't complain. you, Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. To the glory of God, we gather. We praise God that we're able to come together one more time. Amen. Bless His holy name. And to share together this wonderful occasion of this wonderful man and his family. And as I stand, I give you thanks and praise, not just out of my lips, but bearing and carrying the accolades of joy and happiness from my wife. That's my girlfriend for the past 65 years. We thank God for this moment and the friendship that we have shared with our fellowship through the years, and to be with you once more time. I've listened and I've heard so many things. When I came into the church and coming to the pulpit, I told Dr. Jemison, I said, you have a wonderful music department. One thing that Dr. Jemison didn't know about me, grandmother and my mother were musicians. And even at the Union Church, I share a lot of time with my musicians. Many times when they're playing, I'll tell them about transitioning to different keys. Sometimes I will advise them because I sometimes take hymns and I transpose them and change them, even at the rehearsal. And many times, much of the music, after we believe that the song is over, I'll tell one of the musicians to pick it up in a different key and a different instrument. We have fun together. And when I heard the grand organ, the first notes of it, that's when I said, you got a grand set of musicians that are here. I'm not a singer, but I want you to know I know music, and I know what's needed. At this time, I'd like for you to share with me a word of prayer. Our Heavenly God, our Savior, be with us this hour. Use us to your glory. Guide us in the trend of our thoughts. And as you speak to us, use this your servant in a special way that we might be heard and to know and to feel your power. And in the name of Jesus, give us listening ears that we might know and adopt your word within our lives, that we live better, stronger, for you, our King of glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Won't you open your Bibles to the third chapter of Leviticus? And if you look at starting with verse 18, I believe it is. It should be. Wait a minute, to be sure, I wrote it down. Yes, verse 35. The third chapter of Leviticus. Oh, I have the wrong book. Yeah. No. It's chapter 3. And wait a minute. I didn't read my own writing. Leviticus 8. I'm sorry. We're going to be together soon. Yeah. Leviticus 8, verse 35. Yeah. Therefore shall ye abide at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation day and night, 7 days, and keep the charge of the Lord, that ye die not, for so I am commanded. So Aaron and his sons did all the things which the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Keep the charge. Keep the charge. I had a sermon entrenched in my mind for this day. But then I heard President Obama speak. And the authority by which he spoke, I knew it was not all of him. But there was a word that he spoke that reminded me of this text that I read. Keep the charge. A very interesting text, because when we think about today and today's time, and we see our lives and see the lives of many within this nation, and we realize there have been many departures from what God has given unto us. And because these departures exist, we find that it has become a means of conforming. We have been conformed to a way of life that is not necessarily the way of God. And we charge ourselves of many things. We charge ourselves in many ways of life. We charge ourselves to do as the crowd is doing. And before we know it, we have strayed away even from that we committed ourselves to do. For as a charge, it has reference to a commandment, a will to do. And it is done without many times observing or knowing the consequence. We charge ourselves many times, say in New Year's. We make our New Year's resolutions. And there are many things that we say that we've committed our charge to. I'm not going to do just eat anything I choose. I'm going to listen to my doctor. That's the charge that we got from the physician. But before we know it, we have discharged everything that we've been told. And we are loaded with salt and candy, and ice cream. We are charged many times to live according to your means. And before we know it, we've purchased and secured credit cards. And before we know it, we are getting communications regarding our delinquency in debt. So many things that we do that we fail to keep the charge that has been given unto us. And we have, in reading this text, we find that Israel had strayed from the teachings of God. Moses gathers together those that are the sons of Aaron, and he wanted them to know that God has commanded of you that you keep these commandments. And it is spelled out in the Word. He tells us that God has commanded you that in your work in the kingdom, and first before you begin to accept the charge, he tells them that they must be bathed clean, what we may call baptism. And he tells them, after you have done that, we want you to stand at the gate of the tabernacle. And standing at the gate of the tabernacle, I want you to be dressed properly. You will have on your robe, and beneath that, you will have the Urim and the Thummim, that you may be able to determine right and wrong. And you will be able to know my voice. But when you make your sacrifices, when the sacrifice is made, I want you to be anointed with oil. And the sacrifice that is made, the blood from the sacrifice, I want you to use that blood and sprinkle it on your right ear. Sprinkle the blood on your right toe. And I want you to repeat the words of mine and stay at the head of the tabernacle. And for those that are following Moses' teachings, I want you to know, follow them, lest you die. In other words, there was a consequence when you have failed to do what God has commanded unto you. And now, at this day, I'm saying at this hour, to the preacher that God has chosen to remain for 25 years, he's telling us all, keep the charge. Yes. Keep the charge that has been laid before you, because there is a falling away within our world, within our community, and even in the church. God has given commandments to follow. And these commandments are not just used, but they must be followed. And we must listen and to know. And God gives us evidence whether they that have been charged are at the door of the tabernacle. When I came here, I remember what it looked like at Second Baptist. But coming here, changes have been made. And it lets me know that the man of God is still at the door of the tabernacle. He has been there. He is there. Changes that have been made, directions that have been given, he's been there. And all we are saying to him, when the accolades and all the things that he's done, the appreciation for what he's done, we are thankful to God that he's still keeping the charge. And there are those of you that are listening, there are some that, well, why in the world would God make that kind of charge to those that lead? Blood, oil, all of that. Blood on the right ear. Blood on the right ear. I want you to know that is in order that that ear, well, it becomes both ears then, will be able to hear God speak. With the presence of blood, the anointing of God on the ear, that no matter what you say, I hear God on the ear. Someone might ask the question, why would you put blood on the toe? Well, you know, on the toe is good for balance and all of that, but you can't go nowhere on one toe. It takes two to walk. And it is a commandment that even to him that stood at the door, whenever there is need, whether it's sickness, whether it's hurt, whether it's pain, sorrow, whether it's a time for rejoicing, he will go where the blood has led him. Because he is being called and he has heard the voice of God. Then we begin to wonder about all of these things. Why would it do this? The anointing that is accompanied also with a sacrifice. And that sacrifice that is meant, that has come from the blood of him who made his provision. And the question then comes, well, who is it? When problems in Israel were in crisis, who sent them? Who sent the children of Aaron to come that he must obey? Who sent him where the sacrifices are made, the sacrifice of sin, the sacrifice that are made through the anointing that has come, giving the sin offering, giving to the burnt offerings, all of that that supports the man of God, that he may be able to stand at the door. Standing at the door means knowing the congregation. And there are things that he knows. And he is blessed because it has been given unto him and he is not shared it with gossipers. He has not shared those things with others that are around, but there is integrity that is kept with him, that the people of God will know that it's in good hands. Moses knew his people because they are not much different than the folks we see today. And therefore God has anointed him to keep the charge of the things that God has provided and that God wants us to know and we might keep the charge. And to know that God has given him the answer and to know that even inside the tabernacle there are those who are questioning everything. Everything that occurs, they want to know why you do it. But look at who is at the head of the door. there are those that constantly have conflicts what God has said, and to know that God is still in control. And God enables us as a people of God to be able to become contagious, where we can hear by listening to whom God has sent. But we must also realize that all that God does through this man and through his leadership, we'll find that there are those who have not heard, but he heard from God first. And what he heard from God is, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And there are those who do not realize that as sheep of the children of God and the house of God, that sheep are dumb. Sheep have to be led. They do what they want to do or they feel like doing. And sheep had to be led. Because in every tabernacle, there is a dark cloud. And Satan always finds a resting place within the tabernacle. But God has given him the charge, feed my sheep. And as we look around in San Antonio, we see the evidence of him who feeds the sheep. We're able to give glory and honor to God, and a reminder to him as well as us, keep the charge. Don't let anybody turn you around. And when we hear things that are contrary to the will of God, we know that they are dumb sheep. They have no way to get out except to listen to the shepherd, because he has been anointed on the ear, on the toe, and in the evenings, and all that has provided. He is well situated to keep the charge. Keep the charge. And then, even though church life has fallen off all around, there are those that still cannot understand. They have their own ways of creating confusion. They want to know, well, who talks to him? How do we know that somebody talks to him? Look around, see the evidence, keep the charge. Don't be disturbed, don't be upset, because God will prevail. And there are those that wonder, and we even see now on TV about faith in God. I know in 1983, I was in Russia. And I was amazed to find when we landed in Moscow, they gave us a copy of the Constitution of the USSR. On the first line in the Constitution, it said, we are an atheistic nation. Then when I looked around and we would go through the city, look at the buildings, see the advertisements that are there, and there on the, in the advertisements where they have clothes, advertise, etc. They have dolls that are written there, and a place setting for the dolls. And they were comical, and yet they were creating a bad image. But above it or below it, you would hear that it would be writings, the folly of the superstition of religion. But yet, there was two churches that still existed that kept the charge. The Greek Orthodox Church And believe it or not, Baptist. That's how we were able to go there. And there was a tall building in the midst of Moscow. If I would guess, I would say it was about 25 or 30 stories high. And big letters, they said, the Museum of Atheism, making mockery and jokes of faith in God. We had a chance to preach, and as we talked to those pastors that were permitted to preach, they had four services every Sunday. So anybody complain about going to church too much, think about those that were suffering and going by themselves. And all the churches boarded up, and the synagogues extra boarding, letting it known that we don't believe in God. But I'm so glad that I'm able to see and to know that even in Russia and those places, we are listening in America to people that have been educated with the education of people like Putin, who had as an education, there is no God. And yet, we got a great crowd that follows all the teaching. I'm not going to call any names, but you know who I'm talking about. But yet, in the midst of it all, we are here to keep the charge. No matter what occurs and how it occurs, the question still is raised by those: who sent him? Where did this come from? Before, there was only nothing. Before the stars were put together, day and night and light and day, it was he who started it. It was he who took dust and dirt, fashioned it and made a dirt man and a dirt woman, and gave them the knowledge of a place that they had never dreamed of, called Eden. But in the midst of that, there was a fashionable, beautiful creature called Satan. And they were mesmerized by the presence of Satan. And they lost their beauty. They lost what God had given. But in the midst of it all, and all of the transitions and the teachings that we have seen, God got a little weary for allowing so many folks to come with so many thoughts and false teachings that have come our way. But because there have been a few folks who are still keeping the charge, we can put a smile on our face and to know that God is real. And maybe somebody still wants to know about God. John 3:16 makes it very clear. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There are those that still don't understand how he got to earth and came here among us. But there was a journey that God permitted that we might see and understand. And he has left for us a charge to follow. When we look at the journey of God through his Son Jesus Christ, I think we got something to praise him about. Here we find that the first stage of God's journey came in Bethlehem. He came in Bethlehem, stayed for a little while, then went to Egypt, stayed for a little while. Left Egypt, went to Nazareth, stayed for a little while. Going to Nazareth, he went to Samaria, stayed for a little while. Went and traveled all these different areas to Galilee, stayed for a little while. Then after he stayed for a little while, he went to Pontius Pilate, stayed for a little while. Then he went to a place called Calvary, stayed for a little while. And after Calvary, he was put in a borrowed tomb, stayed for a little while. And while in the depths of hell, there he snatched the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Stayed for a little while because he had to leave captivity into captive. And while he stayed for a little while, before the morning stars decided to depart, and before the dewdrops on the roses had come, on that third day, he got up, not for a little while, but he got up with all power that is in his hand. As he got up with all power that is in his hand, he enabled us to know that not only that, you're staying on earth for a little while, but when your time does come, I want you to know that I will greet you on the other side of the river. I'll come out to receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. That while I'm there, I'm going to give you everlasting life, that you will have life forevermore. We thank God for he who has stood at the door of the temple to let us know that there's another place. And I can thank God that I got another home. Not made by hands, but eternal in the heavens. I praise his glorious name. I thank him for the third day assembly. For when he got up with all the power in his hands, he gave us a key unto the kingdom. And because we have that, and because we have a proclaimer named Robert Jemison that stood on the outside of the tabernacle door, still there, still working, still proclaiming, just keep the count and praise God for where he has brought us. Give him a glorious pass. Give him thanks. Thanks unto God who is able to keep us from falling, providing for us a man that proclaims the God, not fooled by Satan, but we are also there. Keep the cord. Keep the course. Keep the charge. And no matter what happens, remember, you're on God's side. And God is with you all the way. Second Baptist. Here your man is keeping the charge. You keep the charge. And together we give God glory. Somebody ought to thank him. Somebody ought to praise him for where God has brought us. And Jesus didn't stop on the way to earth, but he kept the charge of his Father in heaven. And now has given us a great hope. Even as the Apostle Paul has declared unto us that he has and he must preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Keep on preaching, my brother. Keep the charge. God will keep you, your family, not your family that you know, but the family of God, within the house of God. Praise God. And as we depart from this place, I pray that you depart keeping the charge.
And all the people of God said amen.
Amen.
And those who are not afraid shouted hallelujah. Come on, help me here. Hallelujah. 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 Don't know about you, but a charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, ever dying soul to save, fitted for the sky. If you're here today and you've heard the challenge to keep the charge, some of you are saying, well, I don't have the charge. God has a purpose for your life. He just wants to sprinkle some blood on your right ear, on your right toe, that you may hear and that you may go to and fro, telling the world about a Savior who stayed a little while, but is now seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for you and for me. The door to my Father's house stands ajar. All you have to do to be saved is to call on the name of Jesus and believe that He is the Son of God and that God has raised Him from the dead, and you shall be saved. Just come forward, acknowledging the power of God in your life, acknowledging that you're willing to accept the charge. Church is standing, choir is singing. Seated. In the next 10 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes, we will be going to break bread together. We hope each one of you will join us.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
At this time, will all the youth and youth leaders please stand? And will Pastor Jimerson and Mrs. Jimerson please come forward? proclamation from the Commissioner's Court of Bexar County. Whereas, Reverend Dr. Robert L. Jimerson and his wife, Jacqueline Jimerson's 25 years of service as pastor and wife to Second Baptist Church has demonstrated in many ways their dedication to the welfare of the youth of Second Baptist and the larger San Antonio community. And whereas Pastor Jimerson has led the Second Baptist Church community in many firsts in San Antonio, with programming geared towards youth, such as the Homework at Second Baptist, the HAS program, providing tutoring to underprivileged students in grades 1-8, and brought for the first time to the Eastside community members of San Antonio Symphony, exposing 800 young people to classical music, among other church-related programs and accomplishments. And whereas the youth of Second Baptist give pause, honor, and praise on this special second Sunday of September, the deep and abiding commitment of Pastor Robert L. Jimerson, who along with his wife, Jacqueline Jimerson, have demonstrated excellence to provide spiritual guidance, leadership, and comfort to the youth department. And whereas the choral readers, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, Youth Choir, Youth Ushers, YAC of Second Baptist Church, proclaim this second Sunday in September as our pastor and wife Appreciation Sunday. And now, therefore, be it resolved that the Commissioner's Court of the County of Bexar hereby recognizes Reverend Dr. Robert L. and Jacqueline Jimerson, witness our signatures and seal of office this ninth day of September 2018. Nelson W. Wolf, County Judge, Sergio Chico Rodriguez, County Commissioner, Precinct 1, Paul Elizondo, County Commissioner, Precinct 2, Kevin A. Wolf, County Commissioner, Precinct 3, and Tommy Calvert, County Commissioner, Precinct 4. Thank you.
Pastor Jimerson,
my friend,
to the Speaker of the Hour, Reverend Dr. Robert Perry, all the ministers on the rostrum, officers, members, and friends.
We have the distinct honor of presenting to our pastor and first lady the gifts from our church. First, airline tickets to Portland, Oregon, so that you can visit your favorite people, Robert Jr., Sarita, and your grandkids, Robert III and McKinley. Also included in this gift is a Thurston's gift. Okay?
The second gift is a beautiful orchid. Now, orchids are very diverse, just like our first lady. You can find her in the kitchen or anywhere where she's needed. She even writes plays and directs them. So she's a very special lady. She's also my sister in Christ and my sister in Delta Sigma Theta. Yeah. And your back is bothering you. Listen down, you get it later.
Yes. More yards. First, giving praise to God, the head of my life. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
To Reverend Jemison, Reverend Perry, ministers on the roster, all of our church family, friends, and guests, we welcome you.
Thank you.
I would just like to say thank you for taking time to come and honor our pastor and wife, Reverend Jemison and Mrs. Jemison, on their 25th church anniversary here at Second Baptist Church. Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
Reverend Jemison and Mrs. Jemison and our Second Baptist Church family, we thank you for allowing Jackie and I to serve as chairpersons. I know a lot of you have started scratching your heads and shaking your heads and said, no, no, no. Them two? It was indeed a pleasure to serve, although I thought it would be hard working with Jackie. Jackie, thank you for being so nice that we were able to get through this. That's what I did. Reverend Perry said, keep it what?
Keep the chalk.
That's just what I did. I know some of you are still wondering how. But in church, well, I wasn't there, but I heard one Sunday an elderly couple was in church and they had said, we've been married for 80 years. And everyone said, how did, and he said, we've been married for 80 years and never had an argument. The pastor said, how did you all stay married for 80 years and never have an argument? He said, every time she would talk, I'd be quiet. So that's what I did with Jackie. Whenever she talked, I just kept quiet. And also, for some of you know about the joke about the tape. I keep tape and I put it over my lip when I don't want to talk to Jackie. Okay, so much for Jackie. Reverend Perry, thank you for sharing on this great occasion with us. What a wonderful message. Keep it charged. I'm sure we all got something out of your sermon today. Have a safe trip home, and may God be with you as you travel. We would like to let everyone on the program today know whatever you did to help, it was a blessing to share with us. Everyone that we asked to be on the program or to assist us in any way, the answers were all yes. No one told us no. And usually you don't get everybody to say yes at one time, but everybody. And I want to thank each and every one of you, Jackie and I do, for your help and your concern and your participation with us. Thanks. God loves you all. Special thanks to Renee Alexander, which is a cousin of Jackie Jordan's, Micah and Michaela Patton for their solos, who took time away from their church to come and be with us on our pastor's anniversary. I don't know if you all know or not, but Micah and Michaela are grandchildren of Sister Lee's. I heard them at the summer camp that we had, and they were practicing for a program we were going to have, and I was at the front desk, and I kept on hearing these voices coming back from there. I said, who are these kids back there singing? And I went back there, and it was the two of them. So I told them, you have to come and sing for our pastor's and wife's anniversary. May God continue to bless each of you. We are delighted as chairpersons to extend greetings to all who supported us on this day. Again, thanks for being a positive inspiration to us. I have a small poem. I got 1 minute, Reverend Jemison. It won't take long for the two of you. And it says, you are special. Special is a word that is used to describe something one of a kind, like a hug. Our son said, are a person who spread love with a smile or a kind gesture. Special describes people who act from their heart and keep in mind the hearts of others. Special applies to something that is admired and precious and which can never be replaced. Special is the word that best describes both of you. We love you.
We love
okay.
you.
God bless you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Amen.
And we have truly been blessed today. Reverend Perry, thank you for that wonderful message. Keep the charge. Pastor, keep the charge. I, too, would like to, I'm going to make it very quick, thank everyone that was asked to be on the program, because everyone was so graciously said yes, no complaints, no hesitation. So we'd like to thank everybody, and for all those that came out and helped us decorate the community center yesterday, we had a lot of fun. We ate and we worked and we ate and we worked. Archie said, I'm a championship for covering chairs now. But we had a good time. It was truly a blessing, because we would do anything for our pastor and wife. And I said everybody so graciously said yes, but I have one person to complain about, myself. I called the office one day when Ms. Winfrey was on vacation to find out if they needed any help answering the phones. And Ms. Wilder said, oh, yes, Ms. Jordan, we sure do. She said, by the way, Pastor Jemberson was talking about you today. He wants to talk to you. I said, you want to talk to me? She said, yes. I said, what does he want? She said, I'm not sure. I said, well, I don't want to talk to him. And so, because I'm thinking in my mind, well, he wants me to go to the community center or cook something or what. And I said, can he hear you? Can you hear you talking on the telephone to me? She said, I think so. I said, oh, Lord, well, let me talk to him. So she put him on the telephone, and of course he started, hello, darling, sweetheart. No. I don't want to hear all of that. I said, take it and bury it in the backyard somewhere. What do you want? So then he says to me, you know, Jackie's anniversary is coming up. And I'm thinking, Jackie's anniversary? Yes, Jackie's anniversary is coming up. I said to myself, well, is Jackie the pastor now? Because I knew we were going to have the pastor and wife's anniversary. So I said, Jackie's anniversary? He said, yes, and she need chairperson. He didn't include himself. I said, mm-hmm. And he said, oh, by the way, can you work with Mr. Liz Barfield? I said, no, you know we don't like each other. We can't work together. So then I said, you know, this is going to cost you. It's going to cost you dearly. He said, whatever, darling, whatever you want, what do you want? I said, I'll tell you what I want. I want the amount of money it takes to pay off the community center. I want the amount of money to pay off Second Baptist bills. And I want the amount of money to pay off my bills. He said, oh, Lord, have mercy. I said, that's right, Lord, have mercy. But anyway, I'm going to keep this short. Jackie, since this is your anniversary, I just stand up here. I'd like to say a few words about you. Your name, Jay. Jesus is her Savior. A, she's always willing to serve. C, she's charming. Q, she's well qualified. U, she's understanding. E, she's efficient. L, she's a loving person. I, she's highly intelligent. N, she's noble. And E, she's earnest. I love you too, Pastor, but I want my money. Okay. You're welcome. Love you too.
Now, this is for the ladies in the house. Some of you had these words in your wedding vows: wives, obey your husbands. Well, the last thing my husband said to me this morning was, Jackie, be sure to turn your phone off. Well, I didn't listen. It's a great day, and I thank you all. But I'm also reminded that Tuesday, 9/11, a day of evil in our country, when our whole world, our three cities within our nation, were transformed by an evil attack. And I say that because a family in our church, a family in this congregation was impacted by that vicious act. So to the Hudsons, I say, we are praying for you still and for the scars you still bear from that attack. Good afternoon, Reverend Perry, Mrs. Jackie Jordan, Mrs. Lizzie Barfield, to those who gave voice for the wonderful video presentation, for the praise and dance and song, for the instruments, I say thank you. I do know the energy and effort that went into this program, and thank you so very much for that. This is an abbreviated version of what I was going to say. If you really want to know how I feel, read some of Michael Eric Dyson's work or Maxine Waters or Don Lemon, and you'll know how I really feel about the world we live in. But we don't have time for that this morning. I just want to thank you for continuing to stand against the rulers of darkness in this world. Thank you for acknowledging a power greater than ourselves, a God for whom wealth, power, and privilege are not prerequisites for saving grace. Thank you even for allowing me the opportunity to stand before you. And thank you for entrusting the leadership of this church to a person I love, admire, and respect, our pastor, Reverend Robert Jemerson. God bless you.
Good morning, church. Real quick, I don't have a long speech. This was a vision of Reverend Jemerson's back in 99? I think it was 99. And he had a vision to have the 8 o'clock service. And the choir he named the Israelites. With the Israelites that still sing with the Israelites, including Miss Jemerson, she was one of the original. Would you please stand? There's only a few of us, most are on vacation. And Mr. Jackson back there. Okay, on behalf of Reverend Jemerson, you and Mrs. Jemerson, this is a gift from the Israelites.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My husband and I, as usually, always pick out something very special we thank for you all. But this year, the Spirit led me to have very little words and a lot of action. So this is for you.
Thank you.
And all the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
I too add my thanks to Liz and to Jackie for their excellent work in preparing this program. These are two women that I think really understand and love the pastor. And when I share with them how beautiful they are, what a warm spirit they have, how loving they are, they don't take that as the pastor is trying to hit on me. Hello. Hello. And so I thank them for their volunteerism, whether it's in the office, they volunteer as secretaries in the office, they volunteer as receptionists in the community center. These are two busy ladies. They are not busybodies, they are ladies. And I thank you for your commitment to excellence in the life of Second Baptist. I would that we had more like you, but I'm grateful for you for keeping the charge. Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Gallimore, for the presentation, the video. We praise God for you and for your work and all who helped you to put that together. And to this marvelous, outstanding choir. Come on, y'all, help me. You guys bless my heart. Reverend Perry said to me, Doc, you got a magnificent music department here at Second Baptist, and I truly agree with him. I want to thank these ushers who came together. Today is Youth Day. The youth usually usher. And I asked Brother Brown, Deacon Brown, I said, Deacon Brown, I need somebody to be over the ushers. And he said, I'll do that. Don't worry about it. I'll do that. I'll integrate the children and the different usher boards. And he did that. I'm grateful that God has placed in our midst a chairman of the Board of Deacons whose name is Deacon Ellie Jackson. Deacon Jackson, I want to thank you for the leadership you provide and for you allowing me to lead. Thank you. Thank you.
to our chairman of our trustee board, Dr. Marie Thurston, who is away with her family. I want to say thank you to her as well. Deacon Jay Johnson, stand, Deacon Johnson. 25 years ago, Mother's Day, I came to Second Baptist and proclaimed the word as a candidate for the pastorship of Second Baptist. I received a call in August to come back and to preach and to share. Is that that interview that we sit down and we talked, and you said, Pastor, Reverend Jemison, if we call you, will you answer? Will you come? I said, yes. 25 years ago, you said to me that as the church prospers, because I didn't want to accept the salary that y'all were offering, he said, as the church prospers, so shall you. Thank you for keeping your word, encouraging the church to do what they do to enhance quality of life for the pastor. And thank you. I ask you to stand because you are the only living person that was on that committee. And I honor you this day for your leadership. He also served as the chair of the